When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple. Recommend Apple Podcasts on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. Communicate with us and other Heat fans all day long. Get away from Twitter. Just talk Heat. Also, there you can suggest episodes for the entire month of August. We've already pulled four from there. We'll be pulling more as we go forward. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Prize Picks, legal again in the state of Florida. You can use the code 5, F-I-V-E. They've got an even better promo than they used to have. You put down that code F-I-V-E, put down a $5 play, and they give you $50. They're handing you $50 free. Just got to download the app from prizepicks.com, the Google Play Store, or the Apple App Store. Type in that code 5 and make your $5 play on a lineup, and they're giving you $50 to play around with, no strings attached. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick, and follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on the Five Reasons Sports. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. Check out the episode that I did with Alex and Sean yesterday after Team USA completes a double-digit comeback in the fourth quarter. Pulls away from Serbia at the end, advances to the final behind LeBron, Curry, Durant, and I hate to admit it, Embiid all played a role in that win. Now they play France coming up on Saturday. We'll have full coverage for you. We'll watch the stream with you on Playback. I believe it starts at 3 o'clock Eastern. So playback.tv/5RSN. But we gave us a couple of ideas off of the game yesterday, and I just want to ask this flat out to you, Brady, and then we'll kind of work back from this. Who is the most influential player of this era?
It's still got to be LeBron. I mean, he's the one who's changed the game most in terms of all the things that we already know, where he comes in and kind of has this mindset that he was supposed to be like the best player coming in as a rookie. And then 20 years later, he's still playing in these Olympics. There was a picture going around, actually, of the 2008 USA team where it's like him, Kobe, and Wade. And then showing the KD, Curry, LeBron one, and the fact that he's in both big threes of these USA teams, like in this, that much of a gap, is just insane. So it's like, he's definitely got to be one, but I mean, that's why this is so incredible, because it's him and it's Steph going kind of band for band in the fourth quarter. And he's obviously influenced and changed the game in a way that you have, bringing it back to Miami, like a guy like Bam that's able to like start stretching the floor and shoot threes, or these, all these guys on the team that are just kind of being able to run offenses in a way that just were not run in the past. So like Steph, LeBron have changed the game, and KD has also been influential, changed the game, just because we've never seen a guy, even though he denies being 7 foot. It feels like everybody nowadays also doesn't want to be as tall. Like they want to be shorter. And then if NBA players want to be shorter, then like average people want to be taller. Yeah. It's very interesting. But like being a 7 footer who just scores the ball like he does, It's just different. So I think the question becomes, like, we've seen a great shooter, a great scorer, and possibly the best all-around player we've ever seen. Like, I think what you're posing is, like, who's up next? Who's the next influential group of players? So it has to be different. Like, that, it's always been unique. Like, there's always, like, a unique thing. Like, the only difference, I guess, the only one that hasn't been unique, I guess, would be the fact that Kobe was just so great because he mirrored MJ's game, but it didn't matter. He was just great that it didn't have to be different. So there is some kind of next up guys. So it's interesting. It's really fun to watch, though, this current group, seeing it, that this is like the finale of like a documentary we're witnessing.
Yeah, and I think it will be a documentary. By the way, I can attest to wanting to be taller as someone who lists himself as 5'8 and 13/16. I will certainly say I wish I was 5'9. I'm going to disagree with you, though. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. And this is coming from someone who covered LeBron on a daily basis and developed a relationship with him over the course of 5 years. I think Steph Curry is the most influential player of this generation. I think that LeBron is the most influential person. He is the first real social media superstar in the NBA. And you look at the decision happening 2010, 2 years after everybody sort of got on Twitter. What the big three, I always call the big three, the first, you know, Twitter NBA team. Like that was, you know, we can talk about like the Celtics of 2008 being, you know, that being sort of the first big three of this era. They didn't deal with what the Heat dealt with because social media blew up in those 2 years. And so I always wanted to write a book that was simply Tweet the Heat. And it was just going to be tweets about those teams over 4 years. I actually think you could probably get a book published with some of those because it tells the story so well. So I think what LeBron did, obviously, you know, empowering his friends to be his agent, to be his marketing rep, what he's done back in his hometown, obviously, you know, the battles with now, I guess, the now semi-retired Skip Bayless. LeBron outlasted Skip Bayless. I remember that's amazing to me because I remember a conversation I had with LeBron in San Antonio when he was with the Heat on one of Skip's worst days, just one of the most ridiculous things. You know, Skip was trying to be, you're too young for this, Brady, but he was trying to be the Howard Cosell to Muhammad Ali. That was basically what Skip was trying to be, except Cosell was talented and Skip is not. And that was the key difference. And Ali was also better at going back at him. LeBron was always uncomfortable with that. And I just remember LeBron telling me it was pregame in San Antonio, I think like 2012. And again, one of Skip's worst days on First Take or whatever it was. And he said, someday I'll get all of them. He says, someday I'm gonna snap back on all of them. And we saw in recent years, he started to snap back a little bit more. But the fact that he outlasted Skip is amazing to me. But I still think it's Steph. And the reason I think it's Steph is it's really twofold. It's very hard to emulate LeBron. I mean, he's 6'8", 260 pounds. He's 40 years old now. He's still dunking. He's still all the things that he does. He's a super. I watched his workouts with Mike Mancius and what he put his body through on a daily basis. He is just and I say this in the most reverential possible way. He's a freak of nature in just every way, intellectually, the way he sees the game, and everything else. You cannot be LeBron. But you can be Steph. You can be Steph. You can come out of Davidson. I mean, Steph's not a real big guy. If you stood next to Steph, you'd be like, how has he survived in the NBA as long as he can? He's very, and this is before I get to the play style, he's very plain spoken. There's really no airs about him. The Golden State media staff is known as probably the best in the league. I'm going to exclude the Heat from this discussion, but because I have relationships with all of them for 25 years, but Golden State, Raymond Ritter and his crew. But a lot of it starts with Steph. Like Steph talking to the media 2-3 times a day, the relationships he's developed with people. But then I go to, there's no airs about him like there was with LeBron. But I go to the play style. And you go to the playgrounds, they're emulating Steph like that. And not only that, but you mentioned it, the way the game has changed is like Steph and Golden State like created, essentially. And just the read and react stuff. And again, the 3-point shooting out to 30 feet. I mean, Dame is kind of a closer predecessor, you know, closer decedent of Steph. But then you have Trey, you've got others who are coming up. I actually think we look back at this era, we're going to say Steph had the biggest effect on the change to the game. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say on the change to the game, but I think LeBron has more influence on the players, just because like you look at just like the young guys around the league, when they come in, it's like, I want to play LeBron. Like, I just want to just be on the same court as LeBron. They just want, I saw there was a video of Haliburton going around where he like got validation for LeBron in the All-Star break, and now he's playing with him. And it's like, these guys, like, just all they want is just like to get stamped by this guy. And we're seeing it firsthand with Miami, like this fact that Bam is like hanging out with LeBron every chance he can. He's sitting courtside at these games. That's just like in like a real learning experience and everything along those lines that you really do seem to get stamped. But Steph does get the credit for changing the actual game, because I don't even see it going back. And that's why it's so insane to me. Like, it's not like, this is not like a phase. This isn't like Steph, like, it's like pushing in a direction like we've seen in the past where it's like, okay, the guys lean more into the post at certain times or more into the paint. This is going to last. Like, this is never going to change because of like the younger generations that are just focused on shooting. And the fact that like people have had discussions about adding a 4-point line just because of one person, and it's Steph. So I think that matters. But I'll say with LeBron, I think the biggest thing of why he's going to be influential is like when he retires, I think people are going to realize it even more. Like when he's gone, when he's not playing anymore and all this stuff, and when everybody really just looks back on his career and all the stuff that he's done, I think you're going to start seeing even more checkboxes of what he's really created and what he's forced this league into at certain points. So even the media, like the media only talks about this guy. Like it feels like even when he's not in the playoffs, right, everything revolves around what LeBron was doing. So it's going to change everything. It's going to change the way the game is talked about. It's going to change about the way how are they going to compare a player to the best player of all time and have the GOAT conversations after every single game like they do now. Like if you don't have MJ playing or LeBron playing, they're just going to have to find a third guy in the mix to like just put their force into this. And everybody's going to know it's not real. Like everybody's going to notice, right, that this is forced. So at least right now with LeBron, it doesn't seem as forced. And I just think it's going to change everything aside from the game, just the stuff off the floor and everything that the players around him.
Well, I don't know that we'll ever have somebody who has a Chosen One tattoo and a cover on Sports Illustrated with that name at age 16, 17. I mean, that is different. And you're right, they will talk about him. But I'll say this. It's funny. I'll share this one anecdote about LeBron because he cares about all this stuff. I was covering him with a year in Cleveland. And he called me over once. He said he had something to show me. This was before a game. And we didn't quite get to it. So he literally remembered it like a week later. He says, come here. I said, what? He says, take a look at this. And it was a meme. And of course, this is when Kobe was still alive and still playing. And it was a meme. And he says, this is how much ticket prices go up when Kobe comes to town. And this is how much they go up when I come to town. Like he literally wanted to show me again, it shows the competitiveness, the narcissism, all that kind of stuff. And again, I always say that I had a very good relationship with him, and I respect him as a man. But it's just, it's funny because that stuck to me because he always compared himself to Kobe. Like that's why, you know, when it's prior to Kobe's passing, but especially after Kobe's passing, you know, I think LeBron, I think obviously, you know, internalized that in different ways than everybody else did, because there's only certain people who can understand what Kobe had gone through as sort of the face of the sport for a period of time, et cetera. And they developed this in tremendous respect. Of course, the Redeem Team and other things along those lines. But there was the Kobe bridge between Michael. There was kind of the Kobe-Shaq bridge, okay? But again, you couldn't be Shaq. Right? Like we talk about somebody you can't be, like that is the one guy all time. You cannot be Shaq. Young kids cannot grow up to be Shaq. But there was the Kobe Shaq bridge kind of, I would throw Duncan in there too, but nobody really related to Duncan, even though he was arguably like the Bill Russell of his era, between MJ and LeBron. But you raise a good point. We'll get to it on the other side of the break. Like who's next? Like who are they going to obsess over to this degree? And LeBron, because of his ego, because there was some narcissism, he was such an easy target, but an easy topic for everybody. And then he also did the thing that you're not supposed to do, which is go to a place like Miami, because we're not supposed to have a basketball team because we have too many other good things here. And so that set off this other chain reaction with it. But I think just with the game, I think it's Curry. I think what's interesting, though, is the way that Ant worships Durant caught my eye a little bit, because I do think there's a generation of quote unquote hoopers, okay, who just admire KD most because his game is so pure. You know what I mean? And it's, and also, he was literally going at it with fans on from his real account, not his burner account, at 5 a.m. from France. Like, there's a realness to him, like it or not, that I think a lot of the younger players relate to. So he's the other one. Is there anybody else before we get to, we're going to talk about Wemby and Ant and some of these other guys, Luka, et cetera. Is there anybody else from this era though, that you think has had a major influence? Other, to me, those are the three. I mean, Durant is third, but to me, those are the three guys that, like, yeah, but Jimmy's got a personality, but he's not at that level. And I'm just trying to think of anybody else over this. And Tatum has no personality, honestly. So I don't know how it could be him or anybody else from the Celtics. So who else could it, would it be from their era?
The guy that gets a lot of respect from the younger generation is Paul George. Like, he's legitimately influential because, like, his game is just so smooth. Like, and I think a lot of that's like kind of a relatable player build game that like a lot of young kids can relate to, of just like the smooth, silky pull up shooting, getting to the like all around game where there's not a lot of weaknesses. So that one stands out. Even Carmelo's son was like, always talked about how that's his favorite player, and Carmelo's kind of looking around. But I think Paul George is definitely up there. I mean, from this generation, you raise a good point, though, because like I feel like it is harder to be like super influential when you're a big, just because they're like it's a limited group. Like, guys like Jokic or Embiid or any of these bigger guys, or Giannis, like, I think they're bigger guys. I think that the centers and everything are respected, but I don't think it's like influencing and changing the game in a way, if that makes sense. Like, I think that does, it's more of a wings guards thing where you kind of see those are the guys that are kind of pushing the needle a little more. So, yeah, I mean, it really is those main three, but I think Paul George, just for some reason, just is kind of, I mean, Kyrie, I think is a decent one just because he has the uniqueness. Like I said before, like, there's a unique thing being the guy that is possibly the greatest handles of all time. I think he just
I think it's also an all. He's a good name because I think he's also, there's a little counterculture element to him off the court too that I think kids relate to, this sort of not respecting authority necessarily. In addition to having arguably the best handles in the game and some of the best we've ever seen, you know who I think would have been in this conversation if he didn't get hurt, because it was happening, Derrick Rose. I think, and there's a guy I want to talk about after the break, who's most reminiscent of him as play style. And I think you can probably figure out who this is. He was hurt last year, but D Rose was getting there before he got hurt like that. And especially big market, and the way that he played, he was just relentless. So I think that's one of the things that, that's one of the guys that was there. All right. After the break, we will get into who's next. All right, but first I want to tell you about a great sponsor, the 5 Reasons Sports Network, and get in here now. We've got a Team USA competition, but you only got about, well, I don't know when you're listening to this, but about 24 hours from when we're recording it. But you know what? We're going to pin this to the top of the 5 Reasons Twitter page. Okay, so typically we tell you betteredge.com/5Reasons or betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's number 5RSN. Get $20 to play at the premier sports betting marketplace, the one with no VIG, unlike the other one in South Florida. But we also run these contests. We've got a Team USA single game USA France contest. Both Brady and I are going to be in there. So beat us and you can win a t-shirt. So we still got a bunch of shirts on our website. You can pick the one that you want. We'll get it out to you within a week, we promise. BetterEdge.com/5Reasons. Again, the social betting marketplace. But go to the top of the 5 Reasons Twitter page. I'm going to pin it up there. All you got to do is answer 10 questions about this. It takes like 2 minutes about the USA-France game, and the one who accumulates the most points overall with those 10 questions. We do have a formula. We can break ties. So we will give you a free t-shirt of your choice. BetterEdge.com. Again, the place to bet in South Florida.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so I guess the question now is who's next? Give me the chances of each of these guys and what it would take, okay? You've got the ultimate unicorn in Wemby. Not just this ridiculous unicorn, like I said, the unicorn does the crazy. I mean, we're going to see him in the final here, okay? So that's one of the reasons to talk about here. Seems to have the player's respect already, which is hard to do. Is incredibly humble, but also driven and very well spoken, like in two languages. Like he is going to present very well publicly. That matters as far as the next guy. Okay. But again, it's hard to grow up to be Wemby. The other one, the most relatable guy right now, it seems like, is Anthony Edwards. Struggled in the semifinal game. The players seem to love him. Honestly, I mean, he's been following Durant around like a puppy dog. I mean, and you see the way Jokic react to him yesterday. Jokic doesn't react that way to anybody except a horse. I mean, I like seriously, like he was like this backslapping him and all the rest of this, joking around with him. Like there seems to be real respect with him. I guess just the fact that Ant is who he is, he tells it how it is. And I think that even though he's made some mistakes, okay, he has made some mistakes with some things he's done publicly. He's going to make those going forward as well, but it does seem like there's a relatability to him. There's Ja Morant, speaking of mistakes, but his game is flashy. Now, he plays in Memphis. Now, we're talking about Minnesota, San Antonio, and Memphis. These are not ideal cities. But then again, Durant came out of OKC and LeBron came out of Cleveland. Okay, so it can be done. And Ja's going to be back this year, and I think that team's a dark horse in the West. Like, they're going to rise back up the standings very quickly. And again, there's the personality off the floor for good, for better or worse, but on the floor, he's electric. There's Luka, who is the best offensive player in the game right now, most probably. Complains to the refs a lot. That rubs people the wrong way. Didn't really distinguish himself in his first finals appearance in a major way. There's Tatum, who, again, I just don't get it. I'm just going to keep saying that. Am I missing anybody?
I guess you could throw Giannis in there.
I mean, yeah, he's kind of caught in between, right? Like, I feel like he won the title in 2021? He won the title. Yeah, 2021. I like Giannis personally. Like, I always say this. There's a couple of guys that are known for like taking care of all the equipment guys when they go to the visiting locker rooms, and like Giannis will just pull out stacks of hundreds, and hey, he's just. he's a good person. Like, he's a good person. He's been good with that city and all that stuff. But again, he's kind of known as run and dunk guy, right? So I don't know that he's as translatable in some ways. And you know, there's not a major language barrier there anymore, but not like there was when he came in, but somewhat of one. I guess he would be the other.
Do you think Shea would be in the mix, or?
Well, KC works against him. But you saw some of the personality come out in with Canada. Like, he's starting to like trash talk a little bit more. The thing about Shea is, and I Brian Windhorst used a good term for him. He's inevitable. Like, he's just like, he's going to get you 30. He gets to his spots. Yeah. Right. But there's not like the electric moments that Edwards provides. And I wonder if that hurts him. And honestly, I haven't seen Shea do a lot of national interviews until recently. Now, part of this, honestly, is ESPN's fault. Part of this is the obsession with LeBron, the Celtics, the Knicks, et cetera. I mean, there's another guy right now who is, I would argue, in terms of in terms of popularity, is top 10 in the league. Jersey sales, he's top 10 in the league. It's because of where he plays, but it's also the way he plays. But he's not a younger player, is Brunson. But I can't see Brunson being like the in New York. Like, it's like, if you ever go on the IG posts, like, of Brunson, like, it's like they're seriously like 22-year-old guys like asking to marry him. I'm not trying to step out here, but it's just like, it's just, I mean, just go. Like, in New York, it's different. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he would be the other. But I I'm just going through the list, like, guys on this team. I mean, could it be Cooper Flagg in 3 years?
It could be. I mean, with the way people are talking about him, I feel like he could end up being in the mix, I guess. But, I mean, Wemby's the guy. Just because, like I keep saying, I think you have to be unique. Like, you just do. Like, you have to provide something different and change the game, like the way that the other guys we talked about before. And Wemby does that. Like, he's just a unique player because we've never seen anything like him, that if he's able to really produce and win, he's the guy that's going to be in those conversations. Now, when we're talking face of the league, Anthony Edwards has the real potential to be the face of the league. Like you said, I think the word relatable is a good word, just because being relatable off the floor, just being genuine, like just being yourself kind of thing. And also just when you're flashy like that, and like to the point about Shea, like when you can hit that extra gear and you're just like a walking highlight, you have the chance to be the face of the league. So, and the stuff he did obviously in the playoffs last year has to be accounted for too. It's not like he's just this flashy player that's just getting highlights. He was on a winning stage and proved that he could win the playoffs in kind of those opening rounds. So Luka is a definite interesting one, just because he definitely has the talent. Will they start? Like, the issue is I just don't know if he's going to be in those conversations. Like, in my head, when I'm thinking face of the league or like being that influential player, I'm thinking about like a first take topic of like comparing like the GOAT things like they do with LeBron. And I don't know. I don't know if that agenda is able to be pushed this quickly. If they're able to do that, I think he's going to be one of the faces of the league. I don't know if it'll be there that quickly, but it's tough. I don't know if he'll be at the face of the league, but I think he's going to be one of those influential players, Iverson,
like an AI.
Kyrie. Iverson, Kyrie. Like, he's going to be one of those guys that are talked about in that fashion. That maybe doesn't win. Like, maybe doesn't. But he's always going to be that influential. Like, why is this 6 foot guy jumping out of the gym like this and have this elite athleticism and has this ability? But Cooper Flagg is a definite, like, this draft class that we just went past. I don't see any face of the league. There's not a face. Hey, Khalil Ware. Maybe Khalil Ware becomes the face of the league.
He's got as good a chance as either of the Sars, I'll tell you that. From what we saw. But you know, it's funny you mentioned Iverson, and I think this is a good place to pivot here, because I would make the argument that in MJ's era, and again, Iverson was back end, right? Like, because way back end, okay? But I would argue, and didn't even make it to the finals until, I guess that was, MJ was in Washington that year. But I would argue that Iverson was the second most influential player of that era, behind Michael. I think he's more influential than all the greats that he went. Again, Magic was towards the end. I mean, Michael faced him, but that was not the same Magic at that point. And Magic and Bird were the most influential of their era. But I when you look at that era, it more so than Stockton, Malone, Ewing, even Charles, you know, who I think people forget how great a player Charles was, and Drexler and Reggie Miller. To me, Iverson was there because Iverson was kind of the anti-Michael. Like, he was the one who didn't want, there was no polish, there was no nothing. It's just, this is who the fuck I am. And I think there is, that is the Kyrie to a certain extent. And I think now it's Ja. But I think ultimately we're in a transition era. I think we're in a transition era where the first take can still talk about LeBron, Durant, and Curry. Because I don't think, because they don't really want to talk about Jokic, who is really the best player right now. As we saw, if he just made some shots for Serbia, they'd probably win that game. But we saw everything else that he does. But we're in transition, and I think Jokic and Giannis, Embiid, again, I think they're not there at that level, and they're not going to be for the general public. So I think we are in a transition where essentially LeBron, Curry, and Durant are holding it down from a public face of the league thing until a Wemby is in the playoffs, okay? Or, you know, or an Ant goes an extra round or something along those lines. I mean, Luka's gotten to the finals, but I don't think we're there yet. I think there is an opportunity for a lot of these guys. I just don't think it's going to be Luka because, honestly, I don't think he's likable enough on the court. That's what I come to. Like, I don't – right? I mean, he's always whining. He's always I feel like more of that's come out over the past year where he doesn't have quite the same pull on. And that matters, I think. I do think it matters a little bit.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, there's the awe of Wemby with the players, and there's like there's the likability with Edwards. So that definitely gives them the edge. But I mean, when you're talking about like the transition period, the one thing that stands out, I mean, when you're comparing like the other players in the first half of this episode, is that like it feels like we're entering like the parody era. Like that's what this feels like. Like there's not going to be like the overarching dominant face. That maybe it could be Wemby. I mean, maybe Edwards emerges and he becomes that. But I think there is a factor of like, it's not going to be the LeBron versus Steph for that many years in a row era. Like, it feels like it's going to just be the anybody can kind of go get it at any given year if you make the right move, kind of like Boston just did. Like, if you go all in and push your chips, you can kind of get to that next year.
Don't tell Heat fans that.
I know. We're getting back to our July episodes right here. But it does feel like that. That's what it feels like this era is going to be. Because I think you can go down the line and pick many faces. I don't think there's going to be one face. I think they're going to have to, I mean, media is going to have to transition to not pushing one guy. Like, it has to be like a league bound.
They can't do it.
It's going to be tough. Like, they're going to force somebody into this light that isn't built for this light. Like, that is not it. That fans are not as global.
And look at the guys we're talking about again, San Antonio, yeah. OKC, Minnesota. Right. Like, these are not the markets that like Stephen A wants to travel to. Like, that's problematic. I mean, it's basically going to be, and this is kind of gross and we'll close here, but it's basically going to be, you know, 24/7 of, is Ant going to leave the Wolves after he's done with his contract, and will the Lakers get him, or will the Heat get him? Right. That's what it's going to be. And
who will Wemby team up with? Like,
right. And that stuff sucks. And that's the worst part of covering the league right now. It is literally the worst part. Like, I'm fine with transactions, but this speculation, what's going to happen 2 years from now. I mean, I just watch, like, that's the thing. And again, thanks to our sponsors, Prize Picks, Better Edge, use code 5FIV at Prize Picks and 5RSN at Better Edge. Like, that was a great basketball game yesterday, right? But there are certain people in the media who are, and I guess we just kind of did this because we're saying who's the most influential of the era, so we just did a little bit. But I'm just saying, like, there's certain media members that can't even enjoy the game. Like, they are just, it's just all, is LeBron a failure? Is Tatum never going to play? You know, it's like, this is the whole prism which they watch. And I think that if you look through KD's tweets yesterday, and he was harsh, but like, that's kind of what he's saying. Like, nobody can just enjoy ball anymore. I mean, I think that's part of it. Again, we play into it a little bit. We do a lot of transaction talk, but we try to also actually break down and enjoy the game, which I think the locals do it well. I don't think the Nationals do it well at this stage. And that's basically it. I mean, it's going to be all about, you know, what team is LeBron going to own? Which, by the way, I think that'll be Seattle, but we'll talk about that some, or Vegas, but we'll talk about that some other time. All right. Thanks to Brady. I'll be back for more episodes. Greg will be back from a mini vacation. He'll be back to, well, not a minute, he's working, but we've given him some time off. He'll be back to recap Team USA and be on Playback with us on Saturday. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.